New Testament, Philemon. There's another pronunciation, but I didn't want to get cooked tonight, so I'm not going to say it. But I will. It's Philemon, okay? But my wife said, you can't say it in front of them people. So, all right, Book of Philemon tonight. We're going to be in, well, the only chapter, so chapter 1. We're going to be, we're going to start in verse 10. This evening, verse 10, and I want to use this for a thought just for a little bit, is the useful useless. The useful useless. If you will, bring that up, because I don't, well, no, I do have my Bible. Hold on. I got an iBible. Book of Philemon, chapter 1, and verse 10, the Bible reads like this. I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now is profitable to thee and to me. And a better translation of that would be that in time past he was useless to you, but now he is useful to you and to me. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. Whom I would have retained with me, that in my stead he might have ministered unto me into the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. And I want you to listen to these next couple verses here. Verse 15 says, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. You can be seated there. You know, this is a very interesting scripture, and it's funny, sometimes I'll read, and I've read this I don't know how many times, and when I read through it, nothing sticks out, and then sometimes something sticks out like a sore thumb. And I want to look at this person in particular, this Onesimus, and what we find out about him is that he was a slave that was bound to Philemon. So Philemon had him as a slave, and what the history of the church would tell us is that Onesimus ended up robbing him and running away. And as he was running away from Philemon, he ended up running into Paul, and Paul preaching the word, and Philemon ended up getting his heart right with God, and then what do you know, he's sent right back unto Philemon again. But what Paul was saying in this scripture was that this time when you receive him back, don't receive him as a slave, receive him as something better, as a brother beloved, because that which was lost has now been found. And so that's what he was telling him there. But what was interesting about this was that this word, this name Onesimus, has a meaning, and that meaning is useful or profitable. That is the meaning of the name of Onesimus. So what was funny about it was that Philemon looked at him as pretty useless. He, man that was named useful, he looked at him as useless. And now we find that because of the work that God has done, he ended up going from useless to useful. And I want to tell you something today. As I was studying for this whole thing, and man, I was just reading this, and God just really spoke to me about a few things on this. And what's funny about it is that I don't know if you've ever had a calling on your life. If God's ever called you in to do something, whether it be in ministry, if you preach, teach, sing, whatever it may be, if you have a calling on your life, how many knows you can't escape it, right? There's no outrunning it. It's no thinking, well, if I go to this church, maybe God will leave me alone. No, God is everywhere at all times. Amen. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. And what I found about what I was doing is that when God had started to call me, I ran for as hard as I could. What we call running. It's just we tried to ignore God, right, is what it is. But I tried my hardest to get away from God. But the harder I went away from him, the more I landed in his will and right where he wanted me to be in the first place. Years ago, we had this guy come to church, and he was a man. He was a big old guy, big burly man, strong. And when he come to church, he was kind of like the white whale. Everybody wanted to get that guy to come to the altar, but nobody could ever get him. So he had come to church a few times, and no emotion, man. The spirit was moving, and man, he sat just stone faced as he could be. And one service, we got done preaching, and we was all exiting that day. And he walked up to me. I'll never forget this. He was crying. He had tears in his eye. He finally broke a little bit, and he shook my hand and said, "I'll see you next time." And he left. Now, he didn't get saved that day, but my buddy was standing there at the time, and he said, "Man, what do you think about that?" I said, "You know, it's funny." I said, "God, sometimes like a fisherman, he sets that hook, and once that hook's been set, you ain't getting away nowhere." But over time, man, God kept reeling and reeling and reeling. And sure enough, that man ended up giving his heart to the Lord. But the point of that is this, is that no matter how far that we try to get away from God, the more we struggle, the more we wind up right in the middle of where God wants us to be. And I want to look at verse 15. If you can, put verse 15 back up there for a minute. "For perhaps therefore he departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, a slave that found freedom in Christ." Now, we're conditioned to think that when bad things start happening to us, like if we've got a bad day, let's say our car breaks down, or we end up getting in trouble at work, or maybe we get a fight in our marriage, as a result of anything going on, the first thing we do is we say, "Well, I guess the Lord's probably mad at me because I didn't give enough on Sunday. The Lord's probably mad at me because I should have prayed when I had that chance to pray, but I didn't pray. I didn't do the things in my life that I should have done, and therefore God, being who he is as this taskmaster, is going to come down on me." And when bad things start happening in my life, and it may be over a period of a day, it may be over a period of a week, it may even stretch out for years, our very first thing is to blame God because of something that we have done, as if God works in a way that says, "If you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm going to punish you." But that's the thing about salvation. It's not because we did something good that God ever blessed us. It's because that's who he is. That's in his nature to do good unto me, even though I don't deserve it. There was nothing that I ever did to deserve what God done for me, but God, willing to show his love, still done it. So God sometimes puts us in places and situations that we may look at as mean, that we may look at as tough, we may look at as rough, we may complain about it, we may get angry about it, we may think, "Well, God's being mean to me after everything that I've done. Lord, I come to church every Sunday and Wednesday, I preach the word, I sing on my front." You don't hear it real good, but I do sing, amen. It's not something you want to hear either, but I do all that stuff. So sometimes when I'm at the house and something starts happening that just doesn't go my way, my first thought sometimes is, "God, did I not do enough? God, am I not doing enough for you? Do I need to do this, or do I need to be here? God, what is it that I'm doing wrong? Why is these bad things happening to me?" But sometimes God prepares us for something greater by keeping us where we are to protect us to where we have to be. Now listen now, Onesimus was a slave for years. For years, he woke up every day, he was a slave. He went to bed, he was a slave. Now, what I got to thinking about this whole situation is that when things don't go my way after a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, maybe even a month, we get pretty aggravated, right? We get aggravated. Let's say our situation stretches on over 6 months. Man, over 6 months, I would be aggravated. Over a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it may be. This man woke up every day for years and years and years, and he woke up a slave, and he went to bed a slave. But I was thinking, when he got freedom in his life, how much more did freedom mean to him than what it meant to everybody else that was already free? Amen? For a man that was a slave to wake up free one day, it must have felt brand new unto him that nobody else could have ever experienced, because they had never been in that spot where they were bound, where they were in a situation as a slave. Sometimes we think that God doesn't know, or that God doesn't care what we've been through, that we've been stuck in a situation for so long, and we think, well, God must be angry or mad. God must be holding me back and holding me down. But what I've found is that God prepares us for things through these situations. Now, Romans 8 and 28, this is a verse we always bring up, right? Well, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. And sometimes people say, well, that's taken out of context. We can't say that all things, because what about the bad? I know this much. I don't know everything. But I know when they ask me, how much of your paycheck do you want? Do you want the good times of your paycheck? Do you want the bad times of your paycheck? Or do you want all of your paycheck, right? I want the nasty times, the good times, the bad times. I want everything, because all means all. And even though things aren't lining up great for you, when God says that all things work together for good to them that love him, for them that are called according to his purpose, he means the good, the bad, the ugly, the nasty, the times that don't feel good, the times that don't feel right, the times that you mess up, the times you do good, all things work together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. God is preparing something in us. Somebody says that's taken out of context when we use it that way. That's not what it's saying. But you know what I found is that we can have this same scripture, and I can give this same scripture to 10 different preachers, and 10 different preachers can preach 10 different messages and get 10 different things from it. But you know why? Because God doesn't live in the context of what me and you think that he needs to live in. He breaks boundaries. He gets through barriers. He breaks through context. It don't matter what your understanding is. I don't care how far that you know or how far ahead that you read in this thing. God does not stick through the pages. He breaks through. Boy, and I'm glad about that, ain't you? God uses situations that me and you would never use. I was thinking about how the disciples that God had called, we're not the greatest men sometimes. This is already open. I hope nobody has germs, but listen, I don't even drink after my own children. All right? Something in my own head, all right? But God called the disciples, knowing that they was full of fleshly desires, knowing that they was full of mistakes, knowing that the potential was good, but the action didn't always play out. There was denial, there was betrayal, there was backbiting, there was all these things that God already knew about them, but Jesus made a very important statement. He said that no man can pluck them out of my hand. No matter what they do, no matter how far they, no matter what's going on, if they're in my hand, they are safe and secure. And I want to tell you, no matter what's going on in your life, if you're in the Father's hands, you are safe and secure, and no man can pluck you out of those. Jesus went on and he said, I've lost none of them that was gave unto me except for the son of perdition, so scripture could be fulfilled. But anyone that is in the will and in the hand of God, regardless of what's going on, God has you. Oh man, sometimes we feel like God forgot about us. God forgot about where it is that I've been. I've been in my spot for so long. Boy, I remember being in a spot for so long, and I was trying. Lord knows I was trying, but I was getting nowhere. I was spinning my wheels, and I was thinking, man, I don't know what good that I'm doing. What good am I doing in all this? But then I got to thinking about Noah and how Noah was on the ark for 40 days and 40 nights. Once God sealed that door, that was it. There was nothing else there. There was no contact. There was was no speaking. We find that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And then the waters, the Bible tells us, stayed for about 150 days. And all this time, Noah would just shut up inside this ark. But chapter 8 of the book of Genesis opens up with something beautiful. In chapter 8, it says that God remembered Noah. And I was just thinking, man, after all that time, wonder how long that it must have been. He'd have been like, man, I guess God forgot about me. I'm out here on this water. There's no land in sight. He caused all this to happen. He's done flooded everything. Wonder where God is. But God knew exactly where Noah was. He said, Noah, I've put you there to protect you, not to destroy you. I've put you there to save you, not to destroy where you are at. God works in these ways for us. Peter's denial unto Christ. I was thinking about this, how that when Peter denied Christ, and then we find him in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that Peter stood up with great boldness and began to preach. And he preached so that 3,000 people ended up getting saved. But you know, wonder if Peter's message would have been as bold had he not ever denied Christ to begin with. Wonder if Peter's message would have ever been as strong had he not went through the periods of darkness in his life. Wonder if Peter's message would have been able to reach the people that it reached had he not been through those things. The truth of the matter is, we don't know. There's no way we can know. But what I can tell you is this, that based on the scripture, all things work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose. Amen. All things work together. That's for sure. Listen, I know where God has brought me from, and I know where I've been, and it's nothing that I would ever wish to ever go through. It's not something I ever want to go through again. It's not a very good place to be. And you guys today, regardless of what your background is, you may have been stuck in something for years that you didn't think you would ever break out of. And none of us want to go through those moments again. I am so thankful for the freedom that I have found in Christ. Amen. But I also know this, that it's through those dark moments and times in my life that I found the grace of God moving. And I don't know, I can't tell you, and I'm not here to tell you a doctrine or some theology, but I am going to tell you this. I know that regardless if I'm on this side, if I was out there, if I'm back in, there's never a time that the hand of God was not there making sure that I was safe, making sure that I was guided back into the hands of the Father. And I'm telling you right now that God's grace is so great. It is so much bigger than what we give credit for. Some people like a little bit of grace for a big old God, but we got a big old God, and man, I believe in a lot of grace that he gives to those people. Amen. If you want to serve a little grace God, you go ahead, but I'm going to serve a large grace God. I'd rather stand before him and say, God, I'm sorry. I thought you were able to do more than what other people did. I apologize. I didn't realize that you could do less. Amen. But God is not bound by what we think. He can do anything today. And God's grace is so much greater. Bible says that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ today. The grace of God transcends all today. Onesimus left bound. He left the fold bound. He ran away as a slave. He ran away as somebody that was not worthy. But he came back, I like what Paul says, accept him into the brotherhood. Boy, I'm telling you right now, we may find ourselves, whether it's us or maybe our children, maybe our children's left, maybe our grandchildren, our husband, our wife, whatever it may be, maybe somebody's left this place, left the circle of God, and we think, well, how in the world can we ever get them back in here today? I'm going to tell you this. Onesimus left bound, but he came back part of the brotherhood. Just because you leave one way doesn't mean that's the way you got to stay. God uses situations that we don't understand, and he can bring them back in. And not only that, but Paul says in verse 16, he says, don't just accept him back as a slave. He said, you accept him better than a slave. You know what I found is that I left bound. And I thought for sure when I come back that I would be in the same exact place that I had always been. But God does not simply rebuild. He restores and makes things better than before. I may have left bound, but I came back part of the brotherhood. I came back part of the clique of God. Amen. And thank God that's something that only he can do. Let me tell you, God, and we say this a lot, is the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, I never watched a movie, a good movie, and I ain't never read, I don't read a lot of books, but it better be good if I read one. But I ain't never read a good book that don't have a good plot, that don't have some twist and some turns. If I ever watched a movie and it was good from beginning to end and nothing bad ever happened, there was no turmoil, there was no struggle, I'd be like, that movie ain't no good, right? Some of us are just simply in the thick of our plot right now and we think that it's the end, but God says, this is just the thick of it, honey. We're just in the middle of your story, but I am the finisher of your faith. Now he began a good work in you, we'll see to it and finish it today. He's going to finish what he started. Some of us are just in the thick of our plot right now. Wait for what the end's got in store for you. You know, if I, and you guys may not know this about me, but I'm not a fighter. I may look like it, right? But I'm not. But I was thinking, if I was to ever meet the lowest ranked boxer, who I don't even know what the rank is, 1,000. If I was to meet the 1,000th ranked boxer, I would still never step foot in a ring with that man. Because I know he's trained, and I know that he's a fighter, and I know that regardless of what happens, he keeps on going, and he's just going to keep on fighting. And I want to tell you this today, that just because you may not be the number one guy, just because you may be somebody that's been beat up, you may be somebody that's been knocked down, you may never have your name up in life, you may never be this big roll call hero of faith type guy, but as long as you're a contender, you're still in the fight. Amen. You're still in the fight. Regardless of anything else, you can keep on fighting. Onesimus there, he never did see his name wrote in the book of Hebrews. It was never in the roll call of faith. Whenever we talk about the great heroes of faith in the Bible, his name will not be mentioned. Matter of fact, before today, I never even read how to say his name until today. Amen. But you know what? There's a place written that name is that, thank God, no man could ever blot out. It can never be erased. And regardless of what you've been through, it may be a rough story. You may be in a real thick plot. But thank God, your name is wrote in a place that can never be erased because of who he is. The useless situations. The useless situations. How many times have I felt like, man, this is useless? I'm fighting a useless battle. Addictions, depression, all these things that attack us, and we think, this is useless. Some people, I've even heard some people tell me before, it's just in my blood. It's just in my blood. I fought this for years and it's in my blood. It's useless for me to try to fight this. But I want to tell you, those useless situations can be useful to God. No matter what you've been through, no matter how deep it is, how bad it is, how dark it is, no matter how bad the situation, no matter how bad the outlook is, no matter how long it's been, God looks at that and says, watch what I can do with the useless situation that you find yourself in. And I don't want to go in too much on this, but listen, I know what God is able to do because I have seen him do it in my own life. I've seen him do it in other people's life. I've seen him take dark situations and turn them around. I've seen him take situations that we think sometimes, well, how in the world is this ever going to work? Well, I'm going to tell you this. Thank God today I love my family and I'm more thankful for Jesus than what I have ever been in my life right now. And it's not because of anything that I've ever did, but it's because of that great love that God has shown down on me and you. Well, God is good today. God is truly good to us. If you can, you can go ahead and come up and get a song together. But listen, as they was trying to figure all this out, and they was getting all this rope and all this put together, what they chose to include, what they didn't choose to include, I don't know. But I want to say this today. Regardless of your situation, God has a plan for your uselessness. God has a plan for the dark. God has a plan for every bit of it. The Bible tells us that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, what things God has prepared for those that love him. I don't know what God's got in store for me in the future. I don't know where that my road's going to lead. I ain't got a clue what I'm going to. I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow. My wife's going to take care of that. I'm just going to be there. But what I can tell you is this. Regardless of where God leads me, I know that all things will work together for good. All things are going to work together for good. Not all things that I did is good. But all things that God does is good. It's impossible for him to do evil unto me. Now, it's possible for me to do evil. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've done some embarrassing things. I've done shameful things. I've done things that I wouldn't even tell my best friend about. But God says all things work together for good. For those that love me, for those who are called according to his purpose, regardless of where I've been, God said, watch what I can do with it. Watch what I can do with it. Can't tell you the number of times that I find myself thinking and reminiscing, not in a good way, but in a bad way, thinking about, I can't believe that. There are some things that we do that we just think to our, I can't believe I would do that. I can't believe I would think that. I can't believe I would say that. But I said all that to say this. As soon as I'm thinking that, God puts another thought in my mind that says, look how far you've come. Look where you've come from. Look where you've come from. I don't know at what point of the story that you're in right now. You may be in the part where you need the hero to show up. Boy, the hero is here. The hero is always there. All we got to do is call upon him. It don't necessarily get us out of the situation that we're currently in. But I can tell you this, hang on. Hang on. I used to tell people, buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Buckle up. Boy, God's took me on a bumpy ride to get here. But man, I'm glad I stayed on for the ride. I'm glad I stayed on for the ride. It may feel a little bumpy along the way, but all things work together for good. All things that he's done in your life. The good, he'll take them. The bad, he'll use them. Don't give up hope. God is still in control. If you will, stand to your feet. We were coming up on a great little holiday, Thanksgiving, and there's so much to be thankful about. So much to be thankful about. I preached a sermon at a funeral one time, and that sermon, on the way there, God spoke to me and he said, preach this sermon. And I was like, man, I ain't going to preach that. That's a strange sermon for a funeral. But the message was, in all things, give thanks. For this is the perfect will of God for your life. In all things, give thanks. In the good, it's easy to give thanks. Man, when I'm riding up here, I can give thanks all day long. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But in all things, in the bad, give thanks unto God. this bad situation that you're going through, this bad spell, this bad moment, this bad year, this bad couple years, this bad month, this bad situation that you found yourself in, give thanks unto God. Watch what He's going to do out of this. Watch what the story is that He's going to write. He's the author and He's the finisher. Watch what He'll do with the situation that you're in. You may say it's over. You may think it's done. But God is just getting started. They said it was done on Calvary. But Jesus said, you ain't seen nothing yet. And 3 days later, look what He's able to do. Let me tell you, you may find yourself in the darkness right now, but it ain't over. Hold on, hold on. Give thanks to God in the dark, give thanks to God in the bad, and watch what He can do with it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As they sing and play today, or why don't you come today? If you need to pray, I invite you to come. This altar is always open. If you need prayer, you can come up and thank God. We got some great men of God that want to pray with you.